This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
It's great now to have a novelist in the Just Women studio. I'm always looking for some book group inspiration. So welcome to Helen Matthews. Great to have you on the programme.
Thanks very much.
Really good to have you here. So Helen, before we talk about the new novel, could you give us a little bit of background into your working life? Because I think it has been heavily based around writing one way or another, at least recently. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. So I've been writing since I was a child, really, but I was always sort of held back from really getting on with my ambition because obviously a crust had to be earned. I had to keep a roof over the head of my family. And it was quite a while before I was able to really spend as much time on it as I wanted to. So I went as long as I could, really, without indulging it, because in the end, I found I wasn't really happy if I wasn't writing. So I reached a stage where my children were at university, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to go back to university as well, do a master's in creative writing, detach myself from all of the legalistic and numerical work that I was doing and actually do something creative, because I actually had to take that step.
But you, am I right in thinking you had studied English years ago?
Ago. Yeah. I studied English, but career took me in a different direction, not really the creative direction.
No. So the MA that you did, was that a year or longer? Or?
Yes, I did the full-time course. And one of the reasons I decided to do that was I thought once I'd given in my notice, I had a very, very good job.
Yeah.
And I kind of could have been tempted with all the pressure they were putting on me to go back to my job. But I thought, no, I will sign up for the course. I'll, you know, put down a deposit on the fees.
Yeah.
And then I've got to leave.
And how long ago was that?
I graduated with the MA in 2012.
Oh, right.
So okay. Just 6 years
six,
ago.
6 years ago.
Coming up to 6 years ago.
Did you live in as a student? Were you sort of there immersed in the
world? No. The sad thing was I studied in Oxford and I live in just over the border from here in Hampshire.
Yeah.
I did think about renting out the house, but my daughter was at university at the time and she was living at home. So it would have been a little bit unfair to just, you know, decamp the whole family and leave her on her own.
Oh, okay. Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. So the new novel, tell us about that.
Right. Okay. Well, it's not the first novel that I've finished, but it's the first one that's been published.
Ah, okay.
So I'd written one novel before I went to do the MA in creative writing, and I knew it wasn't good enough, but I didn't really know how to make it better. So that was one of the reasons for doing the MA.
Right.
And then while I was on the MA course, obviously you have to do a project for your dissertation. And for my dissertation, I started writing another novel. And it was better than the previous one. But again, I kind of had a feeling it wasn't really good enough. Can't have been that bad because I did get my MA. So I persisted with that one for about another year after I'd graduated. And then I thought, do you know what? I need to rip it all up and start again. So this time I sort of went for a subject which wasn't based on my personal experience in any way. And I found that was liberating for me. It kind of opened up my creativity to write about something I had no personal experience of.
I'm glad to hear you have no personal experience
of
that.
No, I was going to ask, what actually made you choose this subject? What inspired you to write about this particular subject?
Well, the thing about when you start to write about a subject, you know, your mind drifts off in different directions. And I was actually writing a story which actually has gone on to be the subplot of this novel, about a mum who was so worried about the impact that the internet was having on her son that she forcibly stopped her whole family from using the internet, with quite dire consequences for the family, although quite good for the son. And I had a working title for that novel, and the working title was Disconnected. So I was thinking broadly around what would it mean to be truly disconnected, truly cut off. And I read in the paper at the time some articles about modern slavery and trafficking, and I started to research that, because really, how much more disconnected can you be than being in some horrendous slavery situation?
Yeah.
And that's when I started my research, and I realised the novel found me, the plot and the characters.
So the more you researched what was going on, the more inspired you became, I guess.
Definitely. To tell a story. I mean, it's a tricky thing, because obviously you have to be incredibly true to your characters. And if you haven't experienced something yourself, you've got to be ultra sensitive. So I really wanted to create a character who was totally, fully rounded character. I don't know if you have seen some films where you sometimes have trafficking victims and they're very shadowy, you know, shadowy people. They don't have their life story explained. I didn't want a character like that, so I started my novel in Albania, where my character comes from, and made sure that people understood what her life was like and that she was a real person, just like you or me or one of our children.
Yeah, almost saying this could happen to any of us or any of our children.
Indeed, and as we know, it could. People are very shocked about that, but awareness is beginning to improve. People are tending to know a bit more about modern slavery now, and hopefully that will lead to people taking action.
Yeah,
I hope so. I mean, it's such a... It's a terrible thing to happen, isn't it? And it's happening all the time. I mean, some of the things that you've written down here that I was looking at your information yesterday, it's just incredible, isn't it? I mean, you must have found out so many things. Did some of it feel quite traumatic when you found out certain things?
Some of the stories did really shock me. Obviously, in some people's stories, their family or their parents might be culpable. For example, you know, I'm not really talking about a character in my case who came from the utmost poverty, although it's people who come from the poorest background who are, you know, the most likely to fall victim. Yeah. But my character has a slightly better background than that. And her parents, they certainly aren't really culpable. They're just gullible. They don't really realise what's going to happen to their daughter. They're attracted by the idea that, a stranger tells them that she could earn an awful lot of money in London. And, of course, when people are poor, they are attracted by that money and the prospect of escape and a glittery life.
This has led to you being quite involved, I think, in a charity called Unseen, hasn't it, which sort of highlights modern-day slavery.
That's right, yes. So my involvement with Unseen came about when I was researching. I've started researching this book in approximately, 2014, probably.
Okay.
And surprising though it may seem, there wasn't as much known about slavery at that time as there is now. And it wasn't that easy to get the information and to get the case studies. But once I discovered Unseen, they were incredibly helpful to me. I was able to ring them up and, you know, get a quick answer if I was researching a particular fact. And then later on, when I'd finished my novel, they fact-checked it for me, you know, they checked the whole thing, and then they were sufficiently impressed that their managing director agreed to write the foreword to my novel.
Oh, brilliant.
Fantastic.
And so really, they've endorsed it. I've partnered with them, giving them a donation from every book that's sold. And I continue to do that now, you know, even in this sort of post-launch period. And recently they've asked me to become an ambassador for the charity. So it means that when I get an opportunity to talk about their work, I just really want to do that because it's about awareness as much as about raising money.
Yeah,
I've not heard of Unseen before. Are they a UK-based charity or...?
Yeah, they're a UK-based charity. So where they do the face-to-face work with victims, they're based in the West Country, sort of Bristol area. But they also run the National Slavery Helpline. And this covers the whole of the country. And so if somebody, either a victim themselves or somebody who suspects that slavery might be going on, they can ring this number and, you know, the case can be investigated. So it means that if, for example, you or I were to come across something that we thought was a bit dodgy, you know, but we obviously shouldn't take any action ourselves because it's not only dangerous for ourselves, but it could be dangerous for the victim.
Yeah.
We can ring this number. Shall I say the number? Or
yeah, go ahead. Yeah, okay, absolutely.
So the number is 0800 121 700, and that's the number for the Modern Slavery Helpline, where you can report any suspicions that you may have.
Okay, and I think I read that you're aware that, you know, hidden in sort of plain sight, you know, I think you went into some nail bars, didn't you, where a lot of people are working who are possibly being forced to work. Is that right?
Yes, so the more I learned about slavery and trafficking, the more I wanted to know for myself, although obviously I realised that we're not, like, advised to go out investigating.
Yeah,
but
you were researching. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
So the thing about nail bars is that, you know, the ones that are popping up all over the high streets, I'm not saying by any means that all of them are illegal businesses in any way, but They're often run on a cash basis. The amount of money that they charge for a manicure is about £10, which is about a third of what you would pay if you went to a very reputable beautician.
Yeah.
The women in there often don't speak much English at all. I've tried very hard in going in to speak to the women. That's my main reason for going in. And I've had some very bad some very bad manicures. That is to say, the standard of them's good, but the products that they use are not that kind to your nails. So I really don't recommend them.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that, of course, they're cash-only businesses.
Yeah.
So in some cases, they could be linked with other quite serious forms of crime. For example, there has been known to be a link between cannabis farms and nail bars.
Okay.
So you might have young kids or young men working in a cannabis farm. Obviously, a lot of money comes out of that. How is it going to be laundered?
Yeah.
Potentially, it could be laundered through the nail bars.
So it's happening under our noses.
Yeah, I mean, the other one, I was thinking about this, the other one that I think could be a potential is these car washes, where you go in and you've got about six people working on your car at once, hand over a tenner, and out you go, and that rarely do they speak English.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, car washes are very much associated with people from Albania.
Are they?
And I've actually used Albania for the character in my book. And the reason I chose Albania is that it is actually the number one country with the most victims of trafficking into the UK have been identified as being Albanian. However, I have been to Albania, and I just want to say that it is the most fantastic country.
How is it?
The people are wonderful. Mm. It has got everything you could possibly wish for a holiday. You know, it's got everything from seaside, it's got beautiful scenery, lovely food, it's not expensive, it's got Greco-Roman ruins, brilliant museums, and it's very, very quickly improving. So I think my point there is that we should all visit if we possibly get a chance, because putting money into the economy in Albania means that the people who live there can get decent jobs, and then they won't perhaps be enticed out of their countries into car washes and other forms of slavery.
Yeah, interesting. So the book came out in October?
Yes, it came out in October 2017. It's with a small press. It's doing quite well. It is available in shops, as well as obviously being available on Amazon.
Kindle?
It's available on Kindle e-reader as well. It's called After Leaving the Village.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned before, there are two plots. The subplot of Kate, she originally came from a village in Wales, and the main character, Odetta, came from a village in Albania, and their paths cross eventually on a London street.
Oh.
So you need to read it to find out.
Yeah,
I love
me too.
Yes,
me too. My book group are interested in reading this one. Definitely.
This is great news. I mean, one or two book groups that I know have actually read it, and they've said it's great for book groups because there's so much to discuss, lots of themes. Because as well as the slavery theme and trafficking, there's the digital detox. Which is, you know, where the mum Kate has stopped her son from using the internet and playing on his games. How does that pan out, and what does
for
that mean for the rest of us?
Yeah, and this came on the back of your article, The Good, the Bad and the Ugly, I think, didn't it? Is that right?
Well, the way that worked was I was asked to write that article. I think it's for Female First. It's like an online magazine. I wrote an article to coincide with the launch of my book. Asked for that theme rather than the trafficking theme.
So the book came first.
So I'd already done some research. I'd done quite a lot of research. And I was quite pleased to write that article because, again, it's a theme that a lot of people are interested in.
Yeah.
But we don't really know as much as we maybe should know about it.
No, I can't imagine what would happen if I said to the family, well, the internet's going off.
It could be explosive.
Yeah, I think it would be. Actually.
We depend on it so much, don't we? I wanted to ask you, actually, when you were writing the book or when you finished the book, who did you ask to be your first critiques? Because I see that you belong to a few writers' groups. And would you, obviously, you'd recommend the writers' groups, but who did you let see the book first?
Right. So, yes, I mean, I'm in one writers' group local to here, actually based in Farnborough. And I've been a member of that for quite a long time. And I'm in another one with people that I did the MA with in Oxford. So they help me by like reading sections as we go along and giving me feedback. And then I've got some friends who are what you call beta readers, so they're test readers. It's very interesting. You've got to be so careful who you choose to be your beta reader, because ideally you want somebody who would be a candidate for reading the book rather than somebody who is, say, an English teacher and is going to pull it apart. Because at that stage you want a reader, you know, you improve it as much as you can. And then you want somebody who's a reader rather than a critic. And obviously there are other services. And once I found my publisher, I had a brilliant editor who really helped me to get the story into fantastic shape. So I'm, you know, I'm much more proud of it now. It's been professionally edited. And
that's so good. And you said it's doing quite well. So your publishers have got PR on your side? And
Yes. There was a publishing... The publisher had a publicity company sort of on standby that did quite a lot of work for me. It was interesting. A few things came up. Obviously, that Female First article.
Yeah.
I did the Bill Buckley show on BBC Radio Berkshire.
Ah, okay.
They placed one of my stories in a Sunday magazine, which was brilliant. Also quite good. And then what I found interesting is little things are popping up all the time. Probably they may have sent out the press releases like 3 months ago, but this very week there was a mention of my book in Stylist magazine.
Oh, fantastic.
Which is the one that I think that is handed out at stations in London.
That's a big magazine.
And it wasn't, what was interesting was it wasn't handed out as a review. It was actually included in a list of things you can buy that include a donation to charitable causes.
Oh, so that was the angle.
It's very weak.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
Yeah, I was really happy to see
as well,
exactly, because it raises awareness of the charity. Mm. And if people buy my book, then I give a bit more money to the to the charity. Yeah. So it's win-win.
Yeah, it's great.
Definitely.
It's definitely put unseen and out there a little bit more as well today, hasn't it, talking about it?
Yeah, it sounds like a really good book, a really good cause, very, very current, which is, you know, very, very important, isn't it? Well, we're coming to that time, I'm afraid. The end of the programme is just around the corner. So the one last question I wanted to ask you as a writer, not just for this novel, but generally, and I'm sure it's different for all writers, do you sort of know what's going to happen at the end when you're planning the journey to the end, or do you sort of make it up as you're going along?
I do actually start off with an idea of the plot, and then obviously my characters come along, and then the characters take over.
Okay.
So up to a point, you can force them down a certain path, but they might actually tell you that they didn't want to do that.
Okay.
And then the plot will take some different turns if the characters are working properly.
Yeah. I mean, I often wonder this when I'm watching, you know, TV dramas. Do they know the ending so that they can plan the beginning? But I'm sure it's different in every case. So that's all really interesting. I'm sure a lot of budding novelists out there will be signing up for writing courses after listening to today's show. Thank you very much for joining us. Best of luck with the novel. That was Helen Matthews, who is a writer, talking about her latest novel, After Leaving the Village. Thank you, Helen.
Thank you.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklynsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklyn's Radio. Just Women is just what you need.